goes. Okay, so dear brethren, again, thank you for your patience as we start this study. As mentioned earlier, the intent of the study is to really show that the Sabbath day starts at daylight, at sunrise, and not evening as commonly believed. So it will be done in two parts. Today we will be looking at the Genesis in context of a day, to see what is Genesis 1 actually saying, and to see, is there merit that to believe that that a day starts at sunrise, or as traditionally taught, by evening. So we'll do that. We will also look at some words, and to, as far as defining what some important words are, because we need to know some of the vocabulary to see the meaning behind what's being said in Genesis 1. And also we will look at some facts in the law that will show that certain sacrifices could only be done if a day starts in the daytime and not at evening. If these sacrifices could not be done as commanded if a day started in the evening. So we will look at these things, and as time permits, we'll allow for questions. Okay. So, and the next day, tomorrow, the eternal permitting, we will see how that applies to the Sabbath itself. So let's begin in our reading of Genesis chapter 1. We won't read every single verse, but because I'm sure everyone on the line is, I trust, familiar with the content, but we will look at key parts that to explain the context of a day in Genesis chapter 1. So let's begin it in Genesis chapter 1, Bereshit 1. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3 says, and Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light, and Elohim saw that the light was good. And Elohim separated the light from the darkness, and Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Amen. So before saying anything, let's define the words a little bit. Put on my glasses here. All right. So we see that that Elohim created the heavens and the earth in no specific time that we could understand. It just says the beginning. He is the eternal. There was a time that things did not exist. So at the beginning of the time when he's creating is the account that's been given here, at least the creation of the heavens and the earth. Okay, and we are told that the earth was, we are told, given in verse 2, we are given the condition of the earth. And I want to emphasize the word condition, and you'll see why. Verse 2 says, the earth was what? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. All these three things, without form, void, and darkness, were conditions of the earth at that point. There's no marker of days, evenings, nights, and morning here at all. Days don't exist yet, in other words. Days don't exist over the earth. Years, months, none of that exists. What we see here is a condition. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Now, what is this? Let's look at the words, as I said. So the first word we see here, relevant to what we want to consider, that is the word darkness. The word darkness is Choshech. or chosek. And darkness is unpleasant, dense darkness without any light. Without any light. It's void of light. It's unpleasant. It's oppressive. It's, and in the account of Genesis, I believe in Genesis chapter 15, we see, we are given an account of Abraham where he's offering a sacrifice, where he's told to give, make a sacrifice, because Elohim had appeared to him as calling himself El Shaddai, revealing himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, and he made this sacrifice as Elohim instructed him. Then we're told a great darkness, Choshek, came over him, and it was dreadful. Okay, so, and we see another account, and all of us who have been observing Passover, the account of the darkness that fell over Egypt as one of the plagues, the darkness. That's the same exact word again, Choshech. And we have a more description through Abraham's account. We know it's dreadful, that Choshech is dreadful. But through Moses' account in Egypt, we know it's also dense, that it is so dense that you can feel it. So this is Choshech. It has nothing to do with nighttime. It's not nighttime. It means literally a dense darkness. It's a type of darkness that none of us, thank goodness, experience these days, right? So let's move on. So that's Choshech. So that has nothing to do with time. It's not night. Let's look at the next word. The next word we see is in verse 3, where it says, let there be light. Now this word is or. It means light. Simply like that. It doesn't mean lights. It cannot refer to a plurality of luminaries. It's in the singular, or, which means light. So he said, let there be light. And digressing a little bit, this light was a divine light coming from Elohim himself, really through his son. And we won't go through that, but there are verses in the scriptures throughout that indicate that, especially John chapter 1, where it says a light shines in the Choshech, in the darkness, and the darkness could not prevent it, could not apprehend it. So that's that light. So that's or. Then we have the word yom. So then we have the word yom. It says, and Elohim saw that the light was good, and Elohim separated the light from the Choshech, from the darkness. Elohim called the light yom, day. And the darkness, he gave a different name now. He called it night. Whenever Elohim does such a thing, is because he has transformed it. Just like Abraham was barren, didn't have a child, couldn't have a child. His name was Abram, but he changed his name to Abraham, because now he would be the father of many nations. So he doesn't change something and give it a name in vain. And we see this throughout scripture. Jacob being called Israel when he made the covenant with Jacob. And let's see, of course, Sarai, which was barren, Abraham's wife, he also called Sarah. And she became very fruitful. And we see this throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. For instance, Peter, Kepha, he said, I will call you Simon, I will call you Kepha, little stone, right? So he changes the names and give them. So when he called the Choshech, when did he call the Choshech a different name? He called it after he made the day. After he says, let there be light, there was light. The day, the yom, which is what warm, yom means daylight, warm, daytime. And after that, we see for the first time the word, that he called the darkness, he changed the darkness into night, Laila. And Laila is to twist, and it's understood in this context to twist from light. Dark with some light for earth, or what we commonly call today night. So night and darkness are not the same thing. Again, Hoshek was very oppressive and dense. Night is pleasant. Those of us who are living in the open fields, in the warmer areas, or if you've been in a warmer area and at nighttime, you go at nighttime, especially on a clear, warm night, it's like comfortable night. It's the stars, the moon, all this makes it very pleasant. And if it's a safe area, you could take a nice nap out there, right? So Laila is now dark. The oppressive darkness has been changed to the comfortable, pleasant Laila. So that's the third word we've seen, Laila. And then fourth word, Laila. And now another word that we see is evening. And there was evening. And evening is the word erev, which is a mix. A mixture, in this context, a mixture of light and darkness. It's a mixture of light and darkness. Light waning to sunset, or what we commonly call today the evening. So, and after the evening, what follows evening? Because the light is waning, getting dimmer and dimmer, we get the Laila, we get the night. And after the night, we see the sequence, the cycle being complete. And there was evening and there was morning. There was boher, morning. So it's the opposite of the evening. The boher is now the waxing of light from the night. So the night now is transitioning into daytime. It's not yet daytime, but it's transitioning. So Erev and Boker, or evening and dawn or morning, are similar, is that they're transitional times, periods of the day. Erev is the transition from the day, or evening, the transition of the day to the night. And Boker, or morning or dawn, is the transition of the night into the day. So a yom, technically, especially in Genesis, is used to strictly mean the daylight. However, the entire 24-hour cycle is termed a day, very similar to our Passover observance. Passover is technically the 14th of Aviv, followed by 7 days of unleavened bread, but the entire event at times is called simply called Pesach or Passover, even though they're distinct. So a day is literally the daylight portion, but the entire 24-hour period collectively is referred to as a yom. Why? Because the yom is the head of the entire period of time. Just like man is Adam and Eve, they're male and female. But Elohim also calls both of them Adam. Why? Because Adam is the head, right? So that's the whole concept being used here. But so now these are the words. Let's take a look at how they are used, the context. So we see in verse 2 of Genesis 1 that the earth was without form, void, and darkness, Choshek. So we see the condition. This has nothing to do with the start of time. So what happens next is the first thing Elohim, how is the first day created? Because the day did not exist yet. How did he create the day? Did he create the day from Choshek? No. He said in verse 3, and Elohim said, let there be light. Let there be or, and there was or, and he called and he gave the light a name. He called the light yom, day. So that was in the plain text of Genesis, this is how a day began. Not with Hoshek, not with darkness, not with evening, not with night, But when he says, let there be light, there was light, and he called the light day. It's that plain. And what happens next? After next, we have the Erev, the evening. Isn't that what we see today? That's the cycle he started. We don't see evening before the day. No. We see the day first, then comes evening, because evening is a mixture of light and some dark. So you cannot have an evening without first having light. So the light was the start of the first day, followed by evening, the Erev, finally followed by the Laila, the night, and ending at dawn. Ending at dawn as dawn transitions to a second day. Okay? So with this straightforward understanding of the text, without, you know, looking at to what's practiced by most, we can see that the scriptures plainly say is that a day started with the light. Let there be light. And he called the light day. He did not call the evening day. He did not call the night day. Neither did he call the morning day. He called the light day. The light day. Okay? So that's the premise. And when he says the first day, in the end, he says, and there was evening, there was Erev, and there was morning, the first day. The scriptures obviously is not suggesting, it should be obvious, but it's not because of what we've heard. He's not suggesting that the day started with evening. Okay? He's not suggesting that the day started with evening, but rather what the scripture is doing is showing what happens next after the day. After the daylight comes evening, and after the evening comes night, and after the night comes dawn. So it's showing you the cycle of an entire day. So where it says the first day, we need to include the entire text that says, let there be light. That's where the first day begins. What people do is skip verse 3 and jump to the last portion. There was evening and there was morning, and they say that's the first day. That's like roughly only 12 hours approximately. And we know a day is longer than that. So we need to include the entire thing. We're beginning with where it says, let there be light, included as part of where it says the first day. And let's see this to make sense. So let's look at verse 6. Let's look at the second day as an example of what I'm saying. And Elohim said, let there be light. Let there be an expanse, a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it separate the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And Elohim called the expanse Shamayim, or heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Do you see that? So Elohim did all his work during the daytime. Once he completed his day, the work in the daytime, the evening came. He did no work in the evening, no work in the night, until the next day following the next dawn. And this is why, let me just look at a few texts for you here. So sequentially, what's happening here, the day starts first, followed by the darkness, followed by the evening, and then the night, then dawn, and then another day starts. So the section of the clause stating there was evening and morning specifies that evening came after the light of day and ended at dawn, with the night, Laila, in between. The section day one, or the first day, just reiterates that the light of day was the initialization and how Elohim established Earth's first 24-hour period. So day one was created by the first daylight placed on Earth by Elohim. And the same clause follows each event of all the 6 days of creation to specify when Elohim did each subsequent work. So all his work was done during the daylight time. Not that it matters to him, but that he's setting the precedence for us so that we can know it is best to work in the day and rest at night. That's the best option. I know some of us have to work at night and so on. We don't have pretty much a choice. We do that. But we know Elohim is setting the standard that it is best to work in the day and rest at night. And we know even medically speaking, a lot of things happen in our bodies only at nighttime within a window of time. And let me digress here a little bit to say this, because this is helpful to know that at nighttime, our brains go through this process where it shrinks so that cleaning fluids can go in and clean our brain of toxins. Our heart beats in such a way that blood flows through it. It's very oxygenated. Our bones at night, all these things happen only during the night. Our bones, for lack of a better word, melt a little bit, dissolve a little bit, and are renewed in the night. These things don't happen very well in the day. I don't even think they happen at all. They happen at night, which is the testimony of why Elohim shows us that we should do our best to do all our work in the day and sleep at night. Back to this here. So not surprisingly, Psalm 74:16 states, quote, "The day is yours, the night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun." This reflects the proper order of daylight before night. It's not he created the night and also the day, or the evening and also the day. No, it is the day is yours, the night also is yours, meaning something that comes after. Okay, so, and also it also reflects that the first light was not given by objects, created objects. That's why it says you have prepared the light and the sun. There would be, if the first light was by the sun, it would not be and the sun. It would be the light of the sun or the light by the sun. But it's the light and the sun, because the first 3 days of creation were governed by the light from Elohim. And another psalm says, also Psalms 113 verse 3 states, quote, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Eternal is to be praised." This psalm also implies a day starts from the rising of the sun, not at sunset. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. So to go back a little bit, we see that from the text itself, that the text teaches that a day started with the light. It's a misunderstanding of scripture to ascribe darkness as the start. That could never be, simply because Elohim himself is light, and he's the ultimate reality, and he will show what is true. He will manifest the reality in everything that he does. And even the sun, which rules the day, is the greater light. Why would the lesser light start the day? Obviously, it doesn't make sense. It's the greater light, which is the sun, recorded for us in chapter 4, verse 14 of Genesis 1, that starts the day, that governs the day. And it is the greater light. So it is first. It is first. So let's see, what else can we say? Let's look at some context in Why? Now, I've stated an idea, which is, you know, which is reasonable. It's a reasonable idea. I think whether anyone would agree or not, they would say, yeah, it's reasonable. We can say why you're saying that, but that doesn't mean it's true. But let's see if it's true. Because Elohim gave us commandments, gave the people of Israel commandments, especially the priests, that they were to keep. He would not give them commandments that they cannot keep. And this is where we're going to see in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 8 to 13. Let me turn there. If you want to note that or turn to it, you can. I'm going to show you a commandment. A very important commandment in the times of Old Testament times that could not be kept if a day started at evening. So this is going to be one proof that a day must start with the light and not at evening. So it is in chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. Okay. Make sure. Yes. Verses 8 to 13 says, the Eternal spoke to Moses saying, quote, command Aaron and his sons saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. This burnt offering shall be on the hearth of, on the altar all night, all Laila until the Boker, until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarment on his body, and he shall take up the ashes to which the fire has reduced the burnt offering on the altar and put them aside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on the garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. So this is, okay, let me read first before I make any comments. So the priest shall burn wood on it every bocher, every morning, and he shall arrange the burnt offering on it and shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. So this is a commandment that started a cycle. And this cycle, if we have time, I don't think we'll have time, but first started in the account in Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, verses 29, 34, 38. This was the initial cycle of this event. So just looking at that alone will show you when a day starts. So we have to keep this in mind in a practical way. Let's put ourselves in the priestly office. Let's imagine this is our responsibility. How would you fulfill this if a day starts at evening? Why do I say this? Let's revisit the text. Let's take a closer look at the text. So Elohim begins by declaring the end from the end at from the beginning. So in other words, he's telling Moses what he is expecting, the outcome that he wants. The outcome is that the burnt offering shall be on the altar all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and put his linen undergarment on his body. And he shall take up the ashes. So what the end result he's looking as emphasized in the last portion of the verse is fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. Keep that in mind. So it is the continual or the daily burnt offering. It's one altar. So you can't have two altars with a continual burnt offering. There's only one continual burnt offering you can have because you have one altar. So let's keep that in mind because we will read another portion that will give us more information. But first, so the end result is that it should burn all night until the morning. But when does the fire start? Does the fire start in the day or does the fire start in the evening? It says, The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it when? Every morning. And he shall arrange the burnt offering. So although it is to be burnt all night, it starts in the morning. Because the command is to place the wood, not in the evening, not at night, but in the morning you shall place that wood. And it starts in the morning and it shall burn throughout the night until the next morning. Not until the next evening, until the next morning. So that's the perpetual law of the perpetual offering. Now, let's look at, imagine that's your responsibility. Okay. So that's the overall. Let's look at the details of the sacrifice. And we know the details of the sacrifices are found in Numbers. Let's look, take a closer look at this morning sacrifice to know the details. Because it just says burnt offering. Does it say what the burnt offering is? Let's see. Does it say? No, it just says burnt offering. Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? How many? Right? It doesn't say. It's very general. So let's look in Numbers. Let's look at the same thing to see the details of this daily perpetual off sacrifice to see that if you were a priest, if we were priests and we had to offer this sacrifice, that we could not do it if a day started in the evening. So Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. Order of sacrifices is from morning to morning, not evening to evening. So it says, quote, the Eternal spoke to Moses, Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. The Eternal spoke to Moses saying, quote, command the people of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food, for my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time, at its moedim. And you shall say to them, this is the food offering that you shall offer to the Eternal. How many of them shall be? It shall be two male lambs a year old without blemish, day by day, as a regular or continual offering. As I said, the tabernacle only had one altar. So you cannot have two separate offerings going on daily at this time. It has to, this is the daily offering as a regular burnt offering. Here's the catch. Here's the key point. The one lamb, or really the first lamb, shall be offered in the, shall you offer in the morning. And the other lamb, or the second lamb, you shall offer at twilight. Do you see that? Do you see the problem? Note, the wood and offering was set in the morning to burn all night. And notice, it even tells you, you shall offer the first lamb in the morning and the other lamb at twilight around 3 p.m. So the wooden offering was set in the morning to burn all night to ashes until replaced at dawn, as we saw in Leviticus 6. The first lamb in the morning and the second lamb at twilight. Since both animals are for one day, not two. Remember, day by day, it's a continually burnt offering. It's not for 2 days. The lamb is for one day. So one day you have to offer a lamb in the morning and one at three. Because obviously 3 p.m. is still the same day. It's not another day, right? So, and two, and must be offered in sequential order on the same day. Then the evening and night until dawn, in which the second lamb burns to ashes as part of the same day, not the start of a new day. In the morning, the ashes would be removed and new wood arranged and a new set of animals selected for the sacrifices of the new day. This lends to a day to dawn schedule, not evening to evening. So this sacrifice command works perfectly only with a day to dawn schedule. Yet it cannot be kept as commanded under an evening to evening schedule, since the sacrifice intended for a single day would overlap 2 days. Now, you are to offer your first sacrifice in the morning and the next one in the evening, right? So if a day now starts in the evening, so today, day one just started at evening. The first day now, if it's true that a day starts at evening or at night, then the day just started at evening. But the command says, I'm to offer the sacrifice for the day in the morning. How can I offer the first lamb in the morning if the day starts at evening? It's impossible. Okay, so I said, I'll wait till daytime comes. So I wait till night is over, daytime come, because technically the day is part of the night according to the traditional belief. So daytime comes, I offer my first lamb. So when evening comes, if a day starts at evening, which it doesn't, it's part of the same day, but if a day starts at evening, it's now day two. So I can't offer my second lamb on the same day. I hope you can see the problem. I want to allow a little bit more, but think about this carefully. It cannot happen you cannot do this command under a evening or nighttime start of a day. You could only do it if a day starts in the evening. I'm sorry, if a day starts in the morning. And this is exactly what the cycle, because this is a perpetual cycle. In Exodus chapter 40, we won't have time to go there. We see that the tabernacle was being set, and by the first day of the first month, it was ready. And the first daily sacrifice, this very sacrifice, was offered. And we see that the sacrifice was not offered in the evening, but it was offered in the morning. And it was the first day of the first month. The first month started. And it was the first day. And the cycle of sacrifices being the first sacrifice offered was offered in the day. How do we know that? We know it because verse 34 and 38 tells us that the pillar of cloud was over the tabernacle by day and by night as a flame of fire. And we are told that it was a pillar of cloud over the tabernacle when the sacrifices was being offered, showing it was daytime, not evening. Because at evening or night, or commonly said at nighttime, it is a pillar of fire. So the first cycle of sacrifices, which never stopped, was done, which never stopped while the tabernacle or temple was in place, was done during the day, not at evening. Okay, so let's see what else I can say here. As a matter of fact, I will stop here. See if there's anything more I could offer. There's so much to say, but I'll stop here to take any comments or questions you may have. Okay, what questions or comments do you have?